This is the Charlie Polillo Show on ESPN 97.5.
And on SportsMap 94.1.
Presented by Tri-Eagle Energy. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios, here's Charlie Polillo.
Kudos to you if you can identify the track. It's the instrumental version of One Thing. Big hit a few years ago from A-Marie. The very talented A-Marie. And she can sing a little too. Washington, D.C. native, or at least she went to Georgetown, which is a Syracuse alum. I won't hold against her. Washington, well, just outside, actually, our nation's capital, where the Texans find themselves Sunday. So let's do our beat guy segment for the week. And as I said, we're going high-end. Washington Post Kareem Copeland on the Redskins beat, for those who use the nickname, as well, certainly in the nation's capital, most do. Kareem, Charlie here in Houston, I appreciate the time. And let me start with this. The Texans are 6-3, but it's very fair to wonder here, given strength of schedule and so forth. They're 6-3, but are they a good team? So Washington at 6-3, I ask you, what's your read? Is that a really good team?
They are a team that's trying to become a really good team. You've got some of the bases, you know, the foundations that you like to have, really good defense. A rejuvenated Adrian Peterson and the run game. So everybody knows, you know, in football, especially as the year gets later, that's two ways to win games. You know, control the ball and stop the opposing team. But at the same time, they still haven't gotten their pass game going. They're still kind of waiting for Alex Smith to kind of break out and waiting for some playmakers to kind of step to the forefront. They're dealing with a whole lot of injuries, so that's kind of had an influence on pretty much everything. Their offensive line is really beat up at the moment, but they've got some things that give you reasons for being optimistic. You know, like I said, you know, the run game has been the stopping the run has been phenomenal this year after they were ranked last year in the league. So they're taking steps toward it, but, you know, it's not an explosive team. They gave up 500 yards last week, but was able to be timely and get a lot of turnovers and hold the Bucs to 3 points. But at the same time, offense, you know, continues to kind of peter out and not be able to put points on the board. So I'm not sure if we can call them a really good team, but you are what your record are.
I'm with you.
What your record is.
Yeah.
They're 6-3 and sitting in first place of the NFC East.
That's it. I say you play the course. So if you have an easy schedule, take advantage of it. Both the Eagles and Cowboys at 4-5. Still two games to come with the Eagles and a game at Dallas. Do you think Washington should win this division, or you're not buying quite yet?
No, they absolutely can win this division. I mean, that's not a surprise. I mean, there is no one in this division right now that's ready to kind of run away with it. Eagles have their issues. Cowboys clearly have their issues. We don't even really need to talk about the Giants. So, I mean, I think it's still up for grabs, and they've got a two-game cushion. So they're going to be in this hunt throughout. I mean, the two games that you're really kind of point to is they still got two coming up against the Eagles, and then, you know, big primetime game against the Cowboys on Thanksgiving. And so those are the three that you kind of really look at and say, hey, the standings could shake up in those three games. But they got out to a fast start, and they've got a two-game cushion, and no one can take them away from that. And, neither the Eagles or the Cowboys have exactly looked like world beaters. So I just think it's one of these conferences that, or one of these divisions that just doesn't have anybody, you know, super strong up top right now.
You alluded to the offensive line in tatters in large part. Both starting guards KO'd for the season a couple of weeks ago. Pro Bowl left tackle Trent Williams is still out. How awful is that matchup for Washington? And what kind of offense is Jay Gruden trying to run with Alex Smith, given that? And if you would, contrast a little bit on what they hope to do with Smith as opposed to when Kirk Cousins was there.
Well, it's a little bit scary, you know, with, like you just said, you lost two starting guards. Trent Williams, you know, he was supposed to be out, but I just stepped out of practice just 2 seconds ago, and he is in full pads today working with the team. So we might get a different story about that from Jay Gruden coming up. But as of yesterday, we were told he was not going to play, but we'll see if that has changed. they haven't changed a ton. I think they could try to keep it a little bit simpler with the offensive line shakeup. You know, they're starting Jonathan Cooper at left guard, and, you know, they just signed him off the street just last Wednesday. So they had to kind of get him ready in literally 3-4 days before they were able to play the Bucks. And, you know, the Bucks have a pretty good defensive line also. So it was a pleasant surprise, I would say, about how well they played last week. They filled in Tony Bergstrom at right guard. And, you know, he's a guy that they like, that they've had for the last couple of years. He had to play a little bit of center earlier this year. So there wasn't a huge drop-off there. And at left tackle, they've been going with Ty Nesecki. And he's one of the, you know, one of their top three. You know, he's their first rotation tackle on the roster. So they're happy with him. So they don't, it hasn't been a huge change. What they were kind of worried about was the communication and just them kind of, and some of that, like, kind of when you're dealing with stunts and passing guys off and that kind of stuff, where you just haven't worked with the guy next to you for so long that there's just some inherent newness there that you've got to kind of get on the same page. But I think they held up pretty well, and as the game went on, Jay Gruden was able to kind of open up things a little bit more. We're kind of really bland and really vanilla early, but as they went on and the line was holding up and they gained more trust in how they were holding up as a unit, then they started to do a little bit more. So I think you'll see a little bit of that. Biggest difference from the Kirk Cousins times, I'd say, you know, they're obviously not airing the ball downfield like they have in the past. Kirk, you know, had, you know, 4,000 plus throwing yards, I think the last four consecutive years, at least the last three. You're not going to get that from Alex this year, but at the same time, he's been really good at controlling the ball. You know, they're not doing a really good job with not turning over the ball, and that's how they've won games, particularly last week. You know, they didn't move the ball really well, but the defense created 4 turnovers. The offense didn't turn it over at all. They won 16-3 despite giving up 500 yards. So that's kind of been life with the Redskins this year.
Talking with Kareem Copeland, Washington Post, on the matchup Sunday. The defense has been stout. I know they haven't been shutting down the Rams and the Chiefs, but other than the Atlanta disaster, 17-17, 13-3 points allowed, who do you think is the best player on that defense? Alabama D lineman first round the last 2 years. DJ Swearinger's always talked a big game. How big a game is he playing?
Well, DJ has been one of the best safeties in the league this year. I mean, both through metrics and his play on the field. And there's really been no really little you can argue about, you know. And he's been playing with a chip on his shoulder, and he's excited to play. He's kind of been going on his little bit of a, he won't call it a revenge tour, but he's hit quite a few of his former teams this year. And, he's definitely motivated again this week. He didn't, I guess, the time with O'Brien didn't end on the best terms, but he's been all over the place, especially playing up in, you know, getting involved in the run game and playing closer to the line of scrimmage. The best player, I think, really, I would probably lean towards saying Jonathan Allen at this point, but the combination between him and Daron Payne have really kind of changed the way this defense has worked because now those two and the improved play of Matt Ioannidis, they can handle the run with just three guys and let those linebackers kind of run free behind them. And same thing with the pass rush. They've been kind of being able to kind of collapse the pocket a little bit without sending a ton of extra help. And so those two, you know, Jonathan Allen being healthy and drafting Daron Payne, that's freed up everything on the backside because, again, the offense, that defensive line, just wasn't getting a bunch of push last year. It was letting teams run all over them. And so they've been able to kind of stop the run with those guys and then play a little bit more games on the backside, you know, commit more people to the pass, all that kind of stuff. So that would be the biggest difference with that defense. And I think those two Alabama guys up front have kind of been the ones who led the way.
Couple of other things before I let you go. I thought adding at relatively minimal price, Clinton Dix, speaking of Alabama guys, if nothing else, for depth, much of a role yet, expected to evolve. And Josh Norman, their mega ticket free agent corner of a year ago. The Texans added Demaryius Thomas, speaking of depth, to have another wide receiver. Defenses at least have to respect some. But DeAndre Hopkins is the guy. Will Norman try to latch onto him, or do they play more side to side?
That's been the big question. So injuries have kind of played a role in that also, where Quentin Dunbar, their other starting corner opposite of Josh Norman, he's been dealing with a nerve issue in his leg, which has left them starting, going back and forth a little bit with two rookie cornerbacks, undrafted free agent Danny Johnson, and seventh-round pick Greg Stroman. And those two have played like rookies. You know, they've had some really good moments, and the organization is optimistic about their future. But at the same time, Stroman has kind of got hit for a couple big plays. He got beat immediately in New Orleans. Odell Beckham kind of put it on him a little bit. I forget who else. Somebody else kind of put a double move on him for a deep touchdown. So there's been some vulnerability there, and it kind of depend on what they've done. You know, a couple times they've decided to move Josh Norman around with the opposing number one receiver. Sometimes they've decided to kind of just leave him on his side. So it depends on the availability of Quentin Dunbar. It didn't look like he was practicing today. But if he's available, they typically just leave those two guys where they are. If he's not available, it seems like they've started out letting Norman stay where he is and letting the rookies kind of stay on their side. But if it hasn't turned out well, they've kind of made in-game switches on that. So that's kind of how they've approached that so far.
Final matter, the home field advantage seems negligible at best, and you think back to the rockin' RFK Stadium days, and they built the giant stadium, and then they took out 10,000 seats years ago. They're not even coming close to filling it on a regular basis. Is that right?
There's been a lot of talk about that this week. There is a little bit of frustration from the fan base for sure for an organization that had, you know, a ton of success, you know, back in the 80s and early 90s, but has not had a lot of, I was looking back, I mean, you know, five playoff appearances, I think in the last 20 years, something around those lines.
Yeah.
And so there's some frustration within the fan base for sure. The seats definitely haven't been packed out. But there's been some talk from the guys on the team. Josh Norman kind of said it first, you know, said, hey, we need this home field advantage. He was actually saying, hey, it seems like we get more love almost on the road than at home, because first off, they've kind of struggled at home a little bit. And also, there's been some quick boos, let's put it that way. And so, you know, the players have kind of been a little bit annoyed by that and have said so, and that kind of became a whole thing this week. But, I think you can see both sides of it. You can understand some fans' frustration when, over decades, you know, the team has underperformed. But at the same time, these guys are like, hey, we're 6-3 right now. You know, we can't be held responsible for the sins of past teams. So I understand what both sides are saying. A lot of guys, including Josh, are giving out tickets this week. So maybe all of this will kind of get fans and get people kind of not only coming out this week, but get them a little bit louder and a little bit more boisterous, because this has been an ongoing, kind of been a topic all season long. But when Josh kind of mentioned it again just this last week, it kind of took on a whole nother life.
To close it out, 2-6-3 teams who still have work to prove that, hey, are they really good? What do you think Sunday? Texans 3-point favorites on the road. Surprised me a little. I'm guessing that started with the condition of Washington's offensive line. How do you see it playing out Sunday?
I give a little bit of an edge to the Texans just because of still dealing with the injuries. If all of a sudden they get Trent Williams back, that changes things a little bit. You know, they still don't have Chris Thompson. It seems like a game where the Texans can have an opportunity to put up some points, and that's going to be the Redskins have yet to have a single lead change all season long. So any game where they've scored first, they've won. Any game they've trailed first, they've lost. Huh. And so they haven't shown the ability to come from behind yet. And so that's what I'm kind of curious to watch is, hey, this is a Texas team that can put up some points. So if Alex Smith and them have to do it through the air and need to score, you know, 24-plus points just to stay in the game, do they have that in them? I'm not so sure. We haven't seen it yet. So So if they're all of a sudden able to do it this week, that would be the first of this year. So that's kind of the way I look at it. If they can keep it into a low scoring kind of fist fight in the trenches, they have a much better chance than if all of a sudden this turns into, if the Texans hang 30 on them, it's going to be hard for the Redskins to match those kind of points.
And on the flip side, you throw out a garbage time touchdown with 1 second to go in their loss to the Giants. The Texans have scored more than 20 points only twice this season. So it sets up as both defenses have been better than both offenses so far this year. So watch, it'll be 44-41 or something. Kareem Copeland of the Washington Post, our beat guy for the week. Strong stuff. Much appreciate the time and insight, Kareem.
Oh, no problem. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
All right, we are late to our break. That's okay. That'll make for a shorty segment to the top of the hour. Then we'll reset a whole bunch of stuff in the second hour today. That will also include room for a couple phone calls if you want to ring in along the way. That HRNP listener line, 713-780-3776. More on the Rockets taking apart the Warriors last night. And definitely want to get to the U of H nonsense within a 31-point win. Imagine if they were getting blown out instead of doing the blowing out last night. 11:49 on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1.
This is ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1.